Wow, what a morning. What a gift. I love seeing those kids come together. It's just so much fun. I love it. You just ball it up and sell it. It's just like happiness in a bottle. You know, it's pretty good. It's really, really good. And I know it probably wouldn't ask for it to be said. And so I want to, on behalf of the church at large, I want to go ahead and just take a moment and say to those that have worked to plan this, to work with the children, to make costumes ready to go, for all the setting set and everything to be ready for today, I want to say to you, thank you for what you have done. And I don't think that they're in here this morning. Because where are they? I think they're back with the kids, right? And so, man, they're serving behind the scenes. And can we just give them a sign of thank you this morning for the work that they have done today? Man, so good. So good. I'm so proud of them. So proud of this church. And so grateful that you guys are here today. Did you guys get to see the video of the guy getting the puppy for Christmas? Oh, doesn't that just melt your heart? Isn't that pretty good? Oh, it was so sweet. Just the happiness on his face. Did you just see that? How happy he was? He was just overjoyed. I love it. And I look at that moment and I go, oh my word. It's like a moment of, you know, this guy is here, it's Christmas, and he's getting this gift, and it's in this moment, there's just this overwhelming happiness that's just exuding from deep within him. And I'm guessing he probably had wanted a puppy maid for a long time or something and couldn't believe he was actually getting one. And I love the idea of that joy, that happiness in that moment that's not just connected to the moment, but it's connected to something also that had been done before, that somebody had actually taken the wherewithal to say, you know what, I want to bless him so deeply. I know, I want to show him how much love and care for him, because I know this is just going to rock his world. You know, he's going to love this puppy. And there's that understanding of that, you know, when you get that like rich, sweet of a gift of thinking back what somebody had already thought about and had done. But then also, I can't help but imagine that this guy, he's got this puppy, and just thinking and dreaming about how they're just going to enjoy life together, right? And the fun they're going to have, all the leftovers that dog's probably going to eat that he doesn't want to eat, the shoe that's probably going to get torn up somewhere along the line, I don't know, or paint can knocked over or something, you know, or whatever, you know, but just all the fun they're going to have, the walks they're going to go on. It's just, you know, oh my gosh, just the good times that are going to be had. And it's just this moment of this guy, no doubt, thinking of the moment of what is, but also knowing what had been done for him, and oh man, excited about what could be down the road, right? What has been done, what is, and what will be. And that kind of joy is the joy that I want to invite us to think of when we think of the gift of joy that Christ gives at Christmas. And that joy is that picture of that joy is one that we find in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, and that is my text for this morning, Luke chapter 2. I want to read verse 10 and 11. If you have a Bible with you, like on your phone or something like that, totally feel free to use that. If not, you can simply listen. I'll read it as well today. Or if you might have this is kind of neat. This is a book. I'm like, you know, it has like softback, has a front and a back. It's kind of a neat thing. We don't use them too much anymore, but this has pages, and you actually open it, and you can read it, and it's pretty cool, right? I know, I sense the sarcasm. My bad. God forgive me for that one, please. And so this morning, I want to go to the Gospel of Luke, but totally. Do I use the Bible on my phone all the time, my computer? Absolutely. Absolutely. And so I want to take us to the story. It's a story we had this morning here, and so we're going to just pick out a little snippet of that this morning. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 10. I want to read verse 10 and 11, and then I'm going to jump down to verse 20. Luke writes these words. It says, "But the angels said to them," talking about the shepherds who were out in the field with their sheep at night, it says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord." And then the story goes on to say how they had heard all this, and then they go and they see what had happened, that just as the angels had said to them, they find that's the case, that's what actually had happened. And so then they go out and they're telling people about it, and then eventually they've got to go back to the sheep. Isn't that kind of like life is? Sometimes we have these great moments where it's just so full of joy and excitement, And then before you know it, we're back into the normal grind of life. And it's like, normal life is waiting for us right there. And that's where the shepherds are, going back into the normal grind. And I like this, that when they go back, if verse 20 says this, it says, the shepherds returned, but watch this, they're glorifying and they're praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. God, I ask your blessing upon the reading of this word. May it bless and give wisdom to our hearts and our minds today, that we may continue to be shaped by the light of Christ that is within us through our faith. Amen. So let me go back to the concept I have from the puppy, that the guy was so excited. Did you catch the three, right? So excited about what had happened, excited about what was happening in the moment, and excited about the potential of what could happen in the future. And that's exactly the case for the shepherds out in the field that night, because the angels come to them and say to them, something has happened already, that in the town of David, a Savior has been born. And so the way the angel speaks is that it's past tense, that something that's already happened is bringing you joy in this moment, but it's also going to be of great joy for all the nations, because God is bringing a Savior to the world. And so in this moment, it's looking back to what had happened, but it's also sitting in this moment because you want to, if you don't know the story, for generations, God had told people that were called prophets, they were his messengers that he had called out, and he said, and through the prophets, he would tell the people about what was to come. And so it would point to the coming of Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, who would save the world from their sins and would bring peace to the nation of Israel, to God's people. And they would have hope for a future that God could make it all right for them, right? And so in this moment, you almost have to imagine that these shepherds would have had all of this backstory and known these promises. And when the angels are speaking to them that the Christ has been born, that hope has come to the world, right? That there is cause for joy, and people are going to be excited, and they don't even know he's been born yet. But I'm telling you, it's going to be of great joy to all the people of all the nations all over the world. God is fulfilling his promise. God is working in this moment, and he's going to bring peace and hope to the nations. There's going to be joy that people are going to have. They don't even know, right, in this moment. It's coming, that through peace and hope, that in fact there is joy. But here's the thing about Christmas. For a lot of people, when they think of their past, they may not have much that gives them joy. And for some, when they look at their present day, they look at that day and they don't really see much of anything that causes them joy. And when they think about potentially what could be in the future, a life of hope and peace beyond where they're at today, they look at that and they really don't see anything that's worth being joyful over. And perhaps that they are sitting in the moment and they are just full of grief and sorrow and sadness. And when they look at all of this stuff about Christmas, what they hear from many, many and most people, especially in the church, is that this is such a joyful time. But yet for them, Christmas is not really a joyful time. That there really isn't much to just give them joy to be happy over. Because just perhaps maybe in their past, it was so dysfunctional that when they think of Christmas, it doesn't conjure up good memories. Or perhaps they're sitting in a day that when they look at that Christmas tree, their life and their marriage or their home and their relationships are so dysfunctional that they're dreading going to Christmas gathering. They're not looking forward to it. And when they think about potentially the good that their life could be, they look at it and they go, I really don't see how anything good is really going to come out of what I'm sitting in right now. That's great if it could, but I don't know where in the world it's coming from because I don't get it. And they're sitting in this place and going, I don't see this joy that you're talking about. I don't get this happiness that you're like smiling about and you're so happy. That's great for you, buddy, but I'm telling you what, I don't get it. And that may be you sitting here this morning. And so here's what I would say to you. It's okay. It's okay. Life is hard. Life is dysfunctional. Yeah? Here it is. Life is dysfunctional. Raise kids. Yeah. Go to work every day. Yeah. It's messed up. Anybody ever had their heart broken? Yeah. Anybody been hurt? Yeah. Anybody promised you they'd do something and then they didn't do it? Then it really hurt you? Broke trust? Yeah. Life is dysfunctional. It's hard. God knows this. And this is why Christ came into the world. And when we think of the gift of Christ at Christmas, it's not a joy that replaces sorrow or emotional suffering or frustrations or feeling like I don't get it. It's not about being a remedy so that you never have to feel sorrow or pain again. It's not what the joy of Christ in Christmas is about. But what it is about is about the history and the present and the future of the work of Christ that is given to us through our faith in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that works within us, deep within the bowels of who we are. And God gives us the opportunity and the ability to have a sense of happiness that is not based on our circumstances, but it's based on a Savior. It's not based on what hasn't come to pass for me to make my life better. It's not based on everything going my way. It's not based on those things. It's based on what God has done because He loves me. And we have this cross in here, and how appropriate that it sits behind the Christmas tree, that when we look to Christmas and we think of the hope of Christmas, that it is connected to the cross. Because truly, the hope of Christmas is grounded in the cross. Yes, we look to the manger, and we look to the baby Jesus, right? The birth of God in the form of man. And we looked and we go, that is so beautiful and such a wonderful story. But the birth of Jesus without the death and the resurrection of Jesus is kind of an empty Christmas. Because to understand Christmas and the joy of Christ that comes into the world is to understand His birth, but also His death and His resurrection again, that whoever believes in me, that though he dies, he shall have everlasting life. And that is, in essence, what gives us great joy, because we can look in our faith and go, look, my life stinks right now, and it is hurting, and it is hard, and I don't get it, and I'm not happy, and I don't know that I have a whole lot to be joyful over. But one thing I do know, that in my faith in Christ, that I know that I can look to the birth of Christ, that He came to this world for me, and He grew up and He went to the cross so that my sins could be forgiven, and that through my faith, my sins are forgiven, and that through my continued faith in Him, that I have the hope of the resurrection from the dead. I have the promise of eternal life. I know what Christ has done for me. I believe that Christ is loving me today. He's working for my good today because He loves me. And the book of Romans chapter 8 promises this. But I also know that Christ is coming again another day. And that promise, that hope of eternal salvation with God has me joyful. Because I'm not looking to my circumstances for joy. I'm receiving the joy of Christ that comes to me through my faith. You can't contrive this kind of joy. You cannot create this. You don't get it out of a Cracker Jack box. You know, it's not that kind of thing. You don't go to the store and buy this. You don't do enough good deeds. You don't go to church every Sunday to get it. You don't just read your Bible every morning to get this. This is a joy that you find from Christ and grows within you as you surrender your life to Him, trusting that God, you've done a work, you're doing a work, and you're still going to do a work. And no matter what sits in front of me today, it is what it is, and I may not be able to change it, but I know that nobody will ever change what you have done, what you're doing, and what you have yet to do. And so glory be to God in the highest that this Christmas I have hope and peace, and so I have joy because it's not based on my circumstances, but it's based on the Savior. And so my heart may be broken, but when I think of Jesus, boy, I have a reason to have joy in my heart. You know, you can have tears and joy at the same time. Those two, they go together. They overlap. You see, if it not for the tears, that joy seems kind of empty. Because you see, the power of joy is that joy speaks to the brokenness. Joy in brokenness is a gift of Christ. And that gift can grow in us. I'm a firm believer of that. I've experienced it in my life. I believe that the story of the church since the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the church at Pentecost has been a story where that joy has grown in people, and they have been persecuted and they have suffered, and people have called them everything under the sun because they believed in Jesus, but yet they still had cause for joy, and they'd still get together and they'd praise God, and they were just so grateful what Jesus had done and believed he was still working and he was coming again soon. And it was such an amazing time in the life of the church. They were so grateful for what God had done. And I think gratitude is one of the ways that joy grows within us. Being grateful for what God has done, and grateful for what he's doing, and grateful for what he's yet to do. Being thankful, being grateful. God, I know I didn't deserve to be saved through my faith. I didn't deserve it. But man, I'm so grateful that you have saved me. I'm so grateful for what the cross promises me. And God, I know that there are times that I mess up and I don't really merit you doing blessing and putting good things into my life so I can receive those and enjoy you. I know I don't deserve that. But man, God, I'm so thankful that in spite of myself, by my faith, you continue to bless me and work for my good. And God, I know that I don't know when your son is coming again, but I believe that he is, and I'm so grateful and thankful that the word says that if I will walk by faith and not by sight, that I have an inheritance that the world cannot take from me, and it's in Jesus. It's in the cross. It's by the cross of Christ that I am forgiven. It's by the resurrection of Christ that I have the promise of eternal life, and I'm going, thank you that gift will one day be opened by me, you know, that I'll get open experience that. And I'm going, yes, that's so good. That is so good. How great and rich is the gospel. Give God thanks for the gospel. Gratitude can be a conduit for joy. And sometimes, if we will share that joy. I don't say sometimes. I shouldn't say sometimes. This is the other thing. You ready for this one? Share your story. Share what God has done, what you believe he's doing, and what you believe he's yet to do. Not that I believe God's going to give me that Porsche or that Caddy. You know, I'm believing it today. I'm telling you what, God's going to bring that. No, because you can't guarantee that. He may not. But it's, right? I don't know. That wasn't even in my notes. I'm sorry. Again, that's free. You have that. So enjoy. Share the good of what God has done. That is your story. No one can refute your story. It's you and God. What has God done in your life that has changed your life? You, if you're a person of faith in Jesus, you will know that. If you're not a person of faith in Jesus yet, I can promise you that when you come to faith in Christ, he will begin to change your life and to reorient your life around him if you open yourself up to him. I promise you, he's been doing it for generations, and he's going to keep doing that for generations. By faith, tell what he's doing in your life today. But also, don't be afraid to say, you know what? I believe, and it brings me such great joy, that Jesus said that I get to have eternal life. And man, I'm excited about that. Because you know what? This body is weak. And this body is not what I wish it would be. As I'm getting older, I'm finding that out to be exactly the case. And I'm sure there's much more to come. But anyways. But so thankful that God has said he'll give me a new body fit for eternal life. Oh man, I'm gonna be able to run a marathon every day. It's gonna be so much fun. Although God will probably be like, yeah, no, we're gonna do something better. You just praise me all day long, you know, as Revelation says. And that'll be cool too. Maybe I'll just praise him while I'm running. I don't know. I do that already. But anyways, so thanking God for what he's yet to do, because you know what? I'm believing it's coming. It is coming. I don't know when, but it is coming. And how do I know that? Because the word of God says it. Ground your joy in the gospel that is grounded in the word. Don't ground it in the promises of the world. Ground it in the Word. If the Word says it, the Word is true. You can count on it. If the world says it, it may or may not be true, and you're probably not going to be able to count on it, at least over the long haul. Ground yourself in the Word of God. You can't go wrong. If there's any gift I could encourage you to receive this Christmas, number one, it's Jesus Christ, and number two, it's the Word of God. And both of those things together will radically change your life. This I can promise you. It's there that you'll find a joy you've never had before in your life. Christ brings His Word to pass in your life through your faith. It's amazing the way it works. It's such a gift. Don't be afraid to share your story. Don't be afraid to encourage people with the ways God has encouraged you. Fear, I have found, can rob you of your joy. But courage breeds joy. Courage can breed joy. I don't know how God does this. It's a mystery to me. I totally don't get it. How does He do this? If I'm courageous to share my faith, and if you've ever done this before, then you know what I'm talking about. There is this sense of joy that the Spirit of God grows within you as you share what God has done, what God is doing, and even what God is yet to do. And when you have this desire to do that, and then you don't do it because you're afraid, that joy seems to be dampened. But man, if you share your story, if you share that, it's amazing how that joy just increases. And people may not accept it, and they may not want to hear it, and it may not have any meaning to them. But you know what? If you share that, I bet you'll be like the shepherds, who after they walked away from what they had seen and what they had heard, they left still glorifying and praising God, because they knew without a doubt that their life was better now with God intervening than it had ever been before. And that's the truth. Life with Christ is better than it will have ever been before. That truly is the greatest Christmas gift. And my hope is that this Christmas that you will know that gift personally in your life and that your family as well, and you celebrate that this Christmas and celebrate it going forward, and that you will live and enjoy the joy that comes from Christ, because we have a hope grounded in the promises of God. And we do have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And He does give us peace. And in that we have joy. And it's all connected to this great work of love that God has done in the world. And hey, guess what? That's next Sunday. So come back next Sunday and let's finish up the story, shall we? Amen. Would you stand with me this morning, please? As our worship team comes to lead us in song again, God, I ask that as we've taken in your word as a part of our worship today, that your Spirit has been speaking to us and will continue to speak to us as we leave this place, and keep us reminded and affirmed within our hearts and our minds that you truly are the hope of the world. Jesus is the greatest source of joy that the world has ever received. And truly, we are thankful for the gift of joy that you bring into our lives. Help us in the midst of our brokenness to know that we are made whole in Christ, and that our story is part of your great story, and we can go share that with other people. Help us, Lord, to have courage to share our story and to live a life of gratitude for all that you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you have yet to do, because you are a God who honors your promises. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.